1320 AM, W248 DE, Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Stacy Lynn with some good news when it comes to interest rates.
The time has come for policy to adjust. The direction of travel is clear, and the timing and pace of rate cuts will depend on incoming data, the evolving outlook, and the balance of risks.
That's Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell speaking in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. While he didn't indicate exact timing of when the cuts may happen, the Fed's next meeting comes in 3 weeks, and experts think that's when they'll officially announce the first interest rate cut since 2020. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has suspended his campaign and is officially backing Donald Trump.
He is a phenomenal person, a phenomenal man who loves the people of this country as much as anybody can love the people of this country.
He joined the former president at a rally in Arizona yesterday. CBS's Caitlin Huey Burns was there.
Several of RFK Jr.'s siblings released a statement expressing their displeasure. That it is not in line with their father's or their family's values.
A big meeting today about two stranded astronauts.
Astronauts Butch Wilmore and Sonny Williams arrived at the International Space Station for a stay that was to last 8 days. That was 2 months ago. The problem is they arrived on Boeing Starliner, but questions about the capsule's safety has kept them in orbit. NASA is trying to decide whether the astronauts should return to Earth on that craft or wait until early next year to fly home with rival SpaceX. Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News.
In Germany, a man went on a knife attack at a music festival, killing three people and wounding at least eight others. Through an interpreter, police spokesman Alexander Cresta says the suspect got away.
We are, of course, still in urgent need of witnesses, videos, photos, anything. The Wuppertal police can be contacted around the clock.
Schools in Oklahoma were directed to teach curriculum based on the Bible, but reporter Brad Gibson in Tulsa tells us
the edict by the state's school superintendent to teach the Bible still appears to be missing. Catherine Bishop, president of the Oklahoma Education Association.
We have heard of one district in the Southwest that possibly could be following the mandate, but that's all that we have heard of.
Bishop calls the mandate, quote, political theater.
And with state law not requiring its teaching, it appears the majority of the state's 500 school districts haven't bought Bibles or changed their curriculum at all. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Savannah Tomei Olson. Libraries are pushing back against the proposals in Project 2025, the so-called wish list for the next Republican president. Mark Moran reports.
The latest report from the Every Library Institute says the Republican Party's agenda, as outlined in the document known as Project 2025, takes aim at places where students can read, discover, and explore. Conservatives call it a matter of accountability. In Iowa, there are at least 540 public libraries, fourth highest in the nation. More than 400 are among the scant cultural resources in towns with populations of less than 2,500. Peter Bromberg with the Institute says Project 2025, a massive effort to reclassify civil service workers as political appointees, would take direct aim at libraries and the people who work there.
You know, librarians and teachers are highly trusted and well-known and well-loved in their communities. It's really kind of a shocking and extreme attempt to twist our democratic society and our institutions into more of a totalitarian theocracy.
But backers of Project 2025 say librarians need to be held accountable for what's on their shelves. Bromberg says Project 2025 promotes book bans, restricts LGBTQ content, and undermines the intellectual freedom and inclusivity that libraries are known for. He believes that would ultimately threaten students' educational quality and could presage the end of libraries serving as open and inclusive spaces for people who want to learn. This is Mark Moran for Iowa News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Central Wisconsin weather, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly sunny, low 80s today. Slight chance of a shower late tonight, a low around 63. Mostly sunny and a high near 83 for Sunday. Sunday night, mostly cloudy, a low around 67. Near 90 for Monday and back to the mid-80s on Tuesday.
It's 60 at our studios.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, Todd Albaugh. Join us next time as we are back in Wisconsin after covering the DNC. We'll look back at the news of the weekend and get you ready for the last week in August. Badger football coming up.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right. And now, a guy who travels so he can pretend he's on the lam, Pete Schwabe.
Welcome back to hour number two of this Friday night version of Nightlight, which is really no different than any of the other versions. It's just that it's Friday. We've got 1 hour to go before our weekend starts. I think your weekend has already started. And thank you for hanging out with us a little bit here and talking about all the fun things we like to talk about in life. Entertainment, movie, TV, comedy, music. And tonight, cheese curds. It had to happen, folks. I'm very excited to welcome my next guest and anxious to talk to him about this really cool event going on in Madison this weekend. It's Curdfest 2024, and with us now on Nightlight is event coordinator Peter Nickel. Peter, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I mean, I never pass up an opportunity to talk about cheese curds, or cheese for that matter, so it's great to have you.
I love talking about cheese curds, but I cannot wait until Sunday when I can actually eat some, so
there you go.
It's been awesome.
Tell us about, this is the 11th year of the event. Tell us how it got started and give us a little overview of what people can expect on Sunday if they go.
Yeah, absolutely. So 11 years running here in Madison, and initially started out at Warner Park, or the Duck Pond, home of the Madison Mallards here in town. It has since shifted over to Bree Stevens Field, multi-purpose stadium here right downtown. It's an awesome venue. It's been here for a few years now, but it has a little bit of everything. Obviously, cheese curds. I can get into the specific crazy cheese curds we're going to be making and concocting, but we have a cheese carver. Vicky Janish will be coming out to create a 40-pound cheese sculpture. We've got an awesome VIP cheese and whiskey pairing experience or event indoors before the event starts. We have yard games, kids games, arts and crafts, face painter, a little bit of everything, and obviously food, beverages, you name it. What more Wisconsin is this Sunday going to be at Bree Stevens Field?
It sounds like just one big party, an excuse to constipate Greater Madison, and I love it.
just wait until the curd eating contest at the end. That's where things could really get crazy.
No kid. Listen, I've got so many questions here. Okay, so... All right, so this is the 11th year. When did you come on board?
So this is my second year organizing the event. And this is last year was the first year we did the cheese and whiskey pairing event. And it was awesome. It was a huge hit. And so this is the second year we're doing this. We partnered with Dancing Goat Distillery, State Line Distillery, and J. Henry & Sons Distillery, and our friends at Roth Cheese. We have some experts coming down to do this. And that's been a great new addition the past 2 years now.
So I'm a huge fan of whiskey, and I know that like cheese and wine are always paired together. I love that you guys went whiskey and cheese because that is a great combination too. How did that start?
That was the whole point. I feel like a lot of it was overlooked. Everyone's thinking about the beer, the wine.
Yeah.
No, there's a lot more other drinks and beverages. Let's open up some eyes. And it was such a blast last year, and I'm glad we're doing it again this year.
Is there a whiskey sponsor or a type of whiskey you feature with the cheese curds?
No, those three different distilleries, they each will feature either one or two of their own whiskeys. So again, Dancing Goat, J. Henry Sons, and State Line, all local distilleries around the area, and they have some awesome products. We'll have each distillery gets a round, and they'll feature a neat pour paired with the cheese, and then also a small cocktail paired with this specific cheese.
Gosh.
So there's a total of, everyone's going to get six different drinks, six different cheese pairings, and it is awesome. Seriously, if you're in town on Sunday, please let me know, and we'll be happy to have you drink some whiskey and eat some cheese.
I'm supposed to be intermittent fasting right now. My mouth is literally salivating thinking about whiskey and cheese. And if I was anywhere close to Madison, I would totally take you up on that. Thank you for the invitation. So tell us more. Like, it looks pretty affordable. It's free to get in. You can pay $10 if you want to get in early. But once people are in, is it expensive? Like to do this wine and cheese thing, are people shelling out a lot of money? Is it reasonable? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So the event overall, back 11 years ago, that was the whole point. It was created with kind of family and community in mind to create an affordable event for people to come to. So that's the whole reason. It's ultimately free to attend. If you just want to come to the event, it's free, no charge. But then to try the different curds and different things like that, and buy some beverages, that costs money. But just get in the door and enjoy the games. And we have a lot of free offerings. That's totally free. Now, we have the $10 early entry ticket. That's if you want to get in an hour before the crowds show up. And trust me, there are lines. So if you want to go down the line and try all the curds that you have checked on your list, it might be worth your while to pay the $10 to get in an hour early and avoid the lines. Or the cheese and whiskey pairing event, that's a $50 ticket. So all those cheeses and whiskeys is with that $50 ticket. And then that gets you in from 2 to 3 o'clock, and then 3 to 6 is when it's open to the public. So you can come early and enjoy that hour of drinking whiskey, eating some cheese, and then still enjoy the rest of the event. And then that's free of charge. So there's kind of something for everyone. If someone wants a family wants to come, just bring the whole family, not pay admission. Great. So if someone wants to, live on the high end a little bit and, drink some whiskey, some cheese, they can do that, a little higher ticket price. But I think it's a really good deal. Our partners, we're giving everyone some really good whiskeys and cheeses to go along. So I think $50 is a pretty good bargain. But again, really something for everyone. So it's a really fun just community event.
I would imagine if you pay the $50 and you've been drinking whiskey for an hour, those cheese curds are going to disappear pretty fast shortly afterwards. I love it because is that the VIP? Is that the $50 for the VIP experience?
Yep, exactly.
I love that the event is centered around cheese curds, and you have a VIP. Like, there's nothing more blue collar to me or less VIP than cheese curds. It's like such a every man's food,
And that's exactly what we kind of had that approach last year when we decided to add the VIP cheese and whiskey. My bosses were like, whoa, this has always been a free event. What's going on here? And kind of keeping it, at its roots. But I'm like, let's give this a shot and see how it goes.
Yeah.
And it was a big hit. So we do have some tickets available left for that VIP cheese and whiskey pairing event. If anyone's in the area on Sunday and wants to come by it, it starts at 2 o'clock. Doors open at 1:30. I highly recommend it. Again, we'll folks coming in from all those different distilleries to talk about their products. So you're not just, eating and drinking well, but you're getting some really good knowledge and something we want folks to kind of take home with them. They're like, oh, great. This a little sneak peek. We've got this fantastic three chili Gouda that Roth has.
Oh my gosh.
Really good. I would have never in a million years thought that would go amazing with some whiskey, but it's fantastic. So again, these are things that you can go and buy this cheese at the store, you know, and use it for your next whiskey night or at dinner when your friends come over or something like that. So it's useful knowledge. It's not something you just enjoy and can never use again. I went home and bought some of these cheeses myself. So I'm definitely making this in my kitchen right now.
I love it. My guest is Peter Nickel. He is the event coordinator for CurdFest 2024 Madison. You can check it out Sunday, August 25th. That's this Sunday from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. at Breese Stevens Field there in Madison. Sounds like a great event. I want to ask you about the eating contest. Is this like snarfing hot dogs, or is there some nuance to cheese curd eating contests?
Oh, man, it is. So we have two different contests. And again, similar last year, we kind of flipped things on our head. So as far as I'm aware, last year was the first year we did this curd eating contest, and we have two different ones. So the first one is just a regular curd eating contest. It's just a boatload of curds, fresh and fried. So you got your variety. And we give everyone a very hearty helping of curds and give them 10 minutes and see. Last year, the winner finished everything within the 10 minutes, but we set a time limit because I don't know. Just looking at the helping sizes, I don't know if I could finish all those. So it's good we're not making people wait around for an hour. But then the second one after that is a spicy curd eating contest. Oh, and that's a much smaller quantity. But our culinary team and our chefs have been working in their lab, I shall say. And they've been whipping up some pretty spicy curds. We've got some they're breaded in like ghost pepper chilies and just some nasty stuff. I don't want to give it away or scare anyone,
right.
But if you like spice, that's the thing to participate in.
No, just the visual of guys in lab coats perfecting the cheese curd for the eating contest is enough for me. When they eat these, Peter, for the contest, are they breaded or are they just like straight the squeaky ones, the regular cheese?
Yeah,
ones?
No, they are breaded.
Okay.
And actually, I was at the stadium earlier today, and our team was showing me and kind of going through. They have a spice blend of breading and breading coating that they made today, and it's got like pepper flakes in it and a bunch of just nasty spicy stuff. So they are fried, but there's no shortage of heat. Last year we actually had an entire, I think it was like a Carolina Reaper pepper, and we stuffed the cheese curd in it and then breaded those. I believe we're not stuffing them in a pepper this year, but we're just adding some very spicy, some spices to the breading and coating that they'll be fried in.
Does the winner of the cheese curd chomping champ, does that guy, is he like surrounded by chicks afterwards? Can he not even get out of the park?
Oh, it is just madness. They get a key to the city. It's just madness. They get a caravan around the entire state being shown up. It's kind of like the Stanley Cup where you win the Stanley Cup and bring it around. They do that with the cheese curd chopping trophy. It's madness.
I love it. What kind of flavors do they have? Like just off the top of your head, if you walk through, what can you expect to see other than like, you know, your basic cheddar?
Yeah. So we've got a little bit of everything. We've got some fresh ones. We've got a fresh one kind of paired with berries and mint, something kind of lighter and refreshing. We've got a nacho curd with jalapenos and some taco spices and seasonings. We've got a buffalo fried curd, kind of like a buffalo wing tossed in buffalo sauce with a blue cheese crumble and like a celery stick. We've got, let's see,
the blue cheese
bacon one.
The blue
I'm
cheese.
I'm excited
is,
for the maple bacon one.
Oh, that one too. Yeah, I've actually, yep. No, I don't think, I've had blue cheese. I have not had maple bacon, but all right. Peter Nickel is here. We'll have a couple more minutes with Peter. I'm going to ask him what he's watching and the history of cheese curds, Peter. I don't want to put you on the spot, but if you happen to know how they became a thing, I'd love to know. And we'll talk for a couple more minutes with Peter. On the other side of the break, this is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Tome for the Todd Allball Show. keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
Did you know the fairgrounds in Marshfield have been in use since the mid-1800s when the site hosted a horse-driving park? The idea for the fair started on the streets of Marshfield in the early 1900s. Not long after, an association formed to sell memberships as a way of financing the conversion of the horse-driving park to a new permanent fair site. The first building on the grounds, the world's largest round barn, still in use more than 100 years later. Take a peek at the unique structure, catch 4-H'ers in action, food and games, and purchase a grandstand entertainment ticket, and your admission to the fair is free. And you're invited to the Civic Media Truth Booth, a chance to share your thoughts about the fair, living in the Marshfield area, and more. Plus, sign up for your local newsletter for more real news and great conversation. The Central Wisconsin State Fair runs through Sunday, August 25th. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Jim from Appleton says his favorite Hollywood power couple is Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson. That's a great one, too. I can't believe nobody said that so far tonight. Thank you, Jim. As always, Jim could be a professional texter if anyone paid him. It's a Bar Band Friday night at 8:35. Terry Barr is here from Max Inc. Radio. She's going to bring new music like she always does. And she is batting 1,000, folks. She brings excellent tunes, so stick around for that. That's at 8:35, Bar Band Friday. Right now, I'm talking to Peter Nickel. His event is CurdFest 2024 in Madison. He is the event coordinator. It's Sunday, August 25th. That's this Sunday, from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. At Bree Stevens Field in Madison. It's a great event. Helps local businesses, local cheesemakers, distilleries. They'll all be there. And it's for a good cause. And I'm making an assumption there, Peter, because the good cause is stuffing our bellies with cheese, right?
No, you're totally right. Good cause indeed. Makes just everyone in Madison who will be at the event will just be much happier at the very least.
So you have a cheese carver too. That sounds kind of cool. I've never seen that, but you mentioned it briefly at the beginning of the interview, a 40-pound block of cheese, and this person carves it somehow?
Yep, exactly. It's just Vicky Janish. She's local to the Madison area, and she is a As surprisingly, I thought it'd be much easier to find cheese carvers in the state of Wisconsin, but they are not easy to find. A few years ago, we actually brought in Sarah Kaufman from California, who has Wisconsin ties, so we were able to get in contact with her. But we had to bring in one from California, so that just speaks to how difficult they are to find. But
that's
it's entire block, and it's kind of like ice carving. They just go to town, and it's really cool to see. You'll see the entire process. They'll be carving the entire way and then obviously providing samples as they go. There's a lot of waste, unfortunately. So it's a really cool experience, and they sent the design. It's really cool. Just Wisconsin as can be with a cow and curd fest and just everything. But
that's
something I'd never seen before, but it's really cool because the cheese has to be very specific kind, or else it's going to fall apart or not carve well.
Sure.
And there's definitely a science to it, which makes sense, but I would not have guessed.
Now, the contest, just to go back to that for a second, is that set or can anybody enter it?
So it is, anyone can enter the day of. We will have sign-up sheets, so you got to be at CurdFest. We'll have sign-up sheets around where you can scan a QR code and enter to win. Last year, it worked out really well, but if there's a high demand, we'll randomly pick some winners and notify the winners, and then we will have that beginning at 5 o'clock that day.
That's fantastic. Conrad, I think I just planned your Sunday. What do you think?
Might have to road trip.
All right. Maybe next year we'll do a remote from my curd fest.
Yes.
So, Peter, how did cheese curds, I did a little bit of research before the show when I knew you were coming on. 1860, I think they were invented, but I was talking at the beginning of the show, I moved to Wisconsin in 1979 as a kid, and I don't remember cheese curds really being a thing until shortly after that, and then they were everywhere. Am I right about that, or did breaded cheese curds come out of the scene later?
Yeah, I believe, and I should know more about my cheese curd history, and I admittedly don't, but I believe the fr- fried ones and breaded ones came on a little later. I'm pretty sure that it's just mainly a byproduct of cheese in the cheese making process. And I think a lot of times it was just discarded or thrown away and kind of overlooked. And us mainly crazy Wisconsinites are like, we can do something with this, you know, leftover cheese. I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah. That's something. Next time you're on, we'll have more stuff for you. Or I'll put on the lab coat. I'll go do some research and I'll present my hypothesis. So, Peter, thank you for your time tonight. What we do on this show typically is we talk about movies and TV and music and comedy and all kinds of fun stuff. Are you watching anything right now? Like when you need a break from planning Curd Fest and you get home and you pour a whiskey or you have some cheese curds or whatever it is, what are you watching on TV?
Yeah, great question, because I working in the event world, I don't have a whole lot of downtime, but when I do, I need something to just shut my brain off and kind of watch some stupid stuff. So my go-to lately has been, I Think You Should Leave, Tim Robinson. It's just stupid sketch comedy. To me, it's funny. I just got to shut it off and kind of watch some dumb stuff, in my opinion.
I don't know that show. What is that on?
It's on Netflix. Okay. It's hilarious if like just dry sarcastic humor is your thing and sketch comedy.
Love it.
It's hilarious.
My whole background is comedy, stand up, some sketch. So yeah, I love all that stuff, but I've not heard of that show. What about the summer blockbusters? Have you seen any of the films in the theaters this summer?
I have right now on my, I've not really seen many on my list. I have to see Twister. That is a must. Just going back, I love the first one.
Sure.
But admittedly, I have not watched too many movies. There are new movies this summer.
Yeah. You get to be that age. It's hard to get to the theater with all the kids sometimes anyway. But I think there needs to be a movie, an animated, maybe like a Pixar type, where cheese curds are the main characters. I think we get a lot of fun.
I think that would really play.
All right. We'll work on that. We'll get the whiskey sponsors involved. We'll make this thing happen. Thanks so much for your time. This is a fun talk. And don't be a stranger. We love talking cheese curds here at Nightlight.
This was great. Thanks so much for having us.
All right. Thanks, Peter. Good luck on Sunday.
Nice.
All right. That's Peter Nickel. Check out Curd Fest Madison 2024. Peter is the event coordinator. And the event is this Sunday, 3 to 6, at Brees Stevens Field in Madison. A great location. It helps local businesses. It's a great local event to promote community. Local whiskeys, local cheese, local eaters. What do you think you could polish? How many cheese curds do you think you could put down, Conrad?
Well, with all those different kinds, you know, you just got to be like, you got to kind of go different ones, but like not too much of one.
Right.
And you find the one that you really like, and you're like, sticking with this one for the rest of the day.
I'm going to be totally honest. I'm kind of over the basic. I take that back. Cheddar cheese curds, bread.
Oh, yeah.
Were awesome. And then all of a sudden it's white cheese. I have no use for that whatsoever.
You know, I like the cheddar cheese when they put like, I think it's chives maybe.
Yes.
They put that in there as well. That's really good.
That's where I was going with this. If you have like it, he was that maple bacon.
That sounds good.
That sounds like that and a glass of whiskey would be the best meal I've ever had. And then blue cheese curds are great, but I do like the breading. I need a little crunch. I can't just eat cheese for cheese sake.
So you really like blue cheese?
On the right thing. Yeah. Why you don't?
I can't do blue cheese.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's disgusting.
Because it looks like mold.
You know, maybe that's it.
You know what? I was gonna write my song Sad Gelato because summer is winding down and the gelato place next door doesn't seem like it's open as late. There's not as much foot traffic, but tonight people are doing some serious shoveling with the gelato. It is They are stuffing their pie holes. It's great. It still feels like summer. So we're going to hold off on the Sad Gelato song. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, this is fun. It is a Terry Bar. It's a bar band Friday night here at Nightlight. If you want to get in on our question, you still can do that. Our question is, who is your favorite Hollywood power couple? And it could be just as fun to share your least favorite Hollywood power couple. Either way, you let us know. Your dime, your dance floor, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or text us on the app or the stream. It's just great to have you with us no matter where you're watching from in our great cheese curd state of Wisconsin. Terry Barr is coming up next. It's Bar Band Friday night here on Nightlight with Peach Wava on the Civic Media Radio Network. Word up, talk, just move right up the wall. Daylight, skies alive.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
CBS News Brief. It might be a good time to buy a home soon. Fed Chair Jerome Powell says the time has come to finally cut interest rates.
With an appropriate dialing back of policy restraint, there is good reason to think that the economy will get back to 2% inflation while maintaining a strong labor market.
It could happen at its September meeting coming up on the 17th. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. suspending his campaign in the presidential race and has now endorsed Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump. The two appeared together at a rally in Arizona.
His candidacy has inspired millions and millions of Americans, raised critical issues that have been too long ignored in this country.
A man's on the run after going on a rampage with a knife at a music festival in Germany.
I can't say with 100% certainty that there is no danger from this person. That's why we still advise caution.
Three people were killed. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacy Lynn.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Brewers beat the A's. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Brewers at the Oakland Coliseum last night against the A's. The A's the first to score. They were up 1-0. Top of the second, Rhys Hoskins with a 3-run home run, followed by Joey Ortiz with a solo shot. The Brewers on their way then to an 11-3 win. 11 runs off of 14 hits. Brewers manager Pat Murphy after the win on that explosive offense.
We were ready to hit. Hoskins, everybody kind of piled on after that. It was great. Sanchez had a big game, and Adames might not have got a bunch of hits, but his walks, Churio, Ortiz with a big hit. Yeah, and the whole lineup over time did a good job throughout the game, and we kind of stayed on it. Stripling came in, was really good against us, but we kind of stayed on it. I played a complete game.
Game two of the series is tonight. Colin Ray against the A's right-hander Joe Boyle. NFL, the Packers hosting the Ravens today in their final preseason game. A recap coming up tonight. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers' first game coming up next Friday night when they host Western Michigan. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Central Wisconsin weather, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly sunny, low 80s today. Slight chance of a shower late tonight, a low around 63. Mostly sunny and a high near 83 for Sunday. Sunday night, mostly cloudy, a low around 67. Near 90 for Monday and back to the mid-80s on Tuesday.
It's 60 at our studios.
CapTime's Idea Fest is back for a week of powerhouse speakers and sessions exploring important local and national topics. September 15th through the 21st in Madison. This year's guest speakers include Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi, former member of Congress Liz Cheney, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, and historian Heather Cox Richardson, along with many others. Idea Fest brings together changemakers to discuss Wisconsin's triumphs and failures to help reach a better state. Purchase your tickets today at CapTimesIdeaFest.com to join this premier thought festival.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. New York's highest court upheld two lower court rulings August 20th, giving New Yorkers the opportunity to routinely vote early by mail without an excuse. The decision rebuffed state and national GOP leaders who sued to overturn it. Governor Kathy Hochul signed the New York Early Mail Voting Act in 2023, a law, not a constitutional amendment. It allows any eligible voter to apply for an early mail ballot with no excuse, subject to approval by the local board of elections. Like any absentee ballot, it must be returned or postmarked by Election Day. New York Congresswoman Elise Stefanik and state and national Republicans sued, arguing that the Early Mail Voting Act was unconstitutional because the state constitution specified in-person voting only. They also argued that a constitutional amendment ballot initiative authorizing no-excuse absentee was rejected by voters in 2021. A 7-justice panel reviewed decisions from two lower courts and found that since the mid-1960s, the legislature had implemented absentee accommodations without a constitutional amendment and agreed that the legislature had the authority to enact the law. One justice dissented. Earlier this year, the New York Board of Elections opened an online portal for citizens to apply for an early mail ballot no later than 10 days prior to the election. New Yorkers, we've linked to the portal at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning on Up North News Radio. The presidential race is now set and underway for the kind of 10-week ride we sure weren't expecting a month ago.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. Hey!
Time to check out original music with Bar Band Friday on Nightlight. Now, your host, Pete Schwabba, and special guest, Terry Barr.
And that is what we do. That is how we do Friday nights here at Nightlight. In the last quadrant of the show, we welcome in our good friend, Terry Barr, one of the hosts of the award-winning Max Inc. Radio. And she brings us music every Friday night, and she is an absolute gem. Terry, how are you tonight?
You gave me an open for our Bar Band Friday. You said you were going to, but there it is.
Listen, I went on vacation last week, and they put it together. It was beautiful, I thought. I think it sounds really good. Do you have any notes for us? We can take some
criticism. No, I think it's fabulous. Thank you. I love joining you and Conrad and everyone else with the show. This is going to be a pretty special one because it's all about Wisconsin this time.
Boy, I have heard a lot about trappers. You know, I'm going to let you introduce them and you tell us what's coming up tomorrow because I have questions. This guy's got a great resume.
Yes.
And you sent us two songs. I've only heard one. I must have missed the other one in the email, but I'm so excited to hear this music.
Well, here's the first thing. Max Inc. Radio, our show every Saturday night, live 6 to midnight, is off this weekend because my boy co-hosts, the two boys and their others, they're camping. So it is a best of show. We got to pick our favorite segments, and that is what we'll be playing tomorrow night. But I'm also working on a brand new show for Civic Media, the new WISCO Wisconsin show.
Yeah.
And you can hear that on Saturday and Sunday mornings. You can find the podcast at Civic Media. And of course, I share it all over the place. But this week's episode is about traveling. So I had to dig deep for this. And then I was like, what does Elvis, a roller coaster, Bob Dylan, and Wisconsin have to do with each other?
Well, I know the answer because you sent the song, but I'm going to leave it up to you. You can share.
Okay. It is Trapper Shep. Now, Trapper is an internationally touring artist. He did his first album when he was in high school. Based in Milwaukee, right now he is touring with, get this, Three Dog Night and John Hyatt. And they're going international. Yeah, he's been all over the world with these guys right now.
Do you know, John Hyatt is like, on my drive home, I usually listen to some, and I've been pulling 80s music lately. I love John Hyatt.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so great.
And Trapper Shep said, these guys are all amazing. It's the music you remember. And he said, I'm just having a blast. So here is the first story, though. This just kind of blows me away. Okay, so there is a roller coaster at Bay Beach Amusement Park. Yep, in Green Bay. It's called the Zippin' Pippin'. And our coworker who does the Mino and the Mayor show, the mayor was part of bringing this to Green Bay from Memphis because the park there shut down. But the thing a lot of people don't know, it is the ride that Elvis rode for like 8 hours a couple of days before he passed away.
That's in the song, and I almost thought it was like parody or just like being funny, but that's real?
Yeah, it's real. In fact, Trapper and I have had this conversation many times because I think he's kidding, and he's like, I wouldn't kid about this. He did an entire album based on Bay Beach and the amusement park rides there, but in particular, his love and the story behind the Zippin' Pippin'. And Elvis booked that park in Memphis for all of his friends for 8 hours overnight, and he rode the Zippin' Pippin' constantly that night, and sometimes by himself.
That's a little obsessive.
I know. Yeah. And then, of course,
I mean, the guy had his quirks, but you know, that's pretty. So he didn't come to Green Bay and ride the Zippin' Pippin' at Bay Beach. He rode it when it was still in Memphis.
No, the Zippin' Pippin' came to Green Bay long after Elvis had passed.
Oh, when Jim was mayor. Okay, that makes sense.
Mino and the mayor got it to And somehow he got this purchase through the city, which is amazing.
Beautiful.
And everybody loves this ride because it is a wooden roller coaster. If you've ever ridden.
I have.
Oh, yeah. It can kind of bounce you around, but it reminds you of the good old days, right?
You ride it for 8 hours. That's a concussion. I'm sorry. That's a lot of bouncing around. Like Elvis must have, you know, I don't want to make any assumptions, Terry, but maybe
Well, if you listen to our interview on the weekend, and I'll share it after the weekend show, the new Wisco weekend. Trapper surmises, and he's a huge Elvis fan, so I'm like, all right, I'll let you say whatever you want, but he's like, you know, they said it was the drugs, but maybe it was the zipping tipping.
That's so great. I actually wrote a song about the Scrambler, but it never really took off like I thought it would. So maybe we'll have to, I'll hitch my wagon to Trapper here.
It's time for a retake, it sounds like, because everybody loves fair songs and ride songs. And seriously, this is one of Trapper's best-selling albums. And the entire album is about Bay Beach in Green Bay.
Yeah, that is nuts. That's so cool. Yep. Why don't we hear, should we lead with Zip and Pippin?
Please.
Okay, Conrad, if you would, good sir. This is Taylor Schrepp, Zip and Pippin.
All the Red Devils and the Fighting Trojans meet at the Bay Beach to feel the motion of the Zippin' Pippa. Yeah, the Zippin' Pippa. It'll zip you to the left, zip you to the right, Zippin' Pippa. Clickety clack up the hill you climb, then drop you like a meteor.
You can ride with Trapper tomorrow night for a best of on Max Inc. Radio. Terry, what a fun song. The arrangement is great, too. I love the music, those little jam sessions in between these fun
lyrics.
And it gives
you like a 50s, 60s flair, you know, just kind of like you were there with Elvis.
It reminds me of, what's the famous, it was like a very controversial song in the 50s and that went on to be, I don't know what I'm talking about. Don't listen to me. I know. But it has a very similar arrangement.
Was it a Buddy Holly song?
No, but it's if you said it, I would know it. It's like, it's the
Okay.
It's going to drive me crazy. Maybe during the break quick, I'll try to find it.
Yeah, there you go.
It's on the tip of my tongue.
Us.
Yeah. So Where does Trapper perform around Wisconsin? He's Milwaukee-based, correct?
He performs everywhere and anywhere. And I'm not kidding when I say this. You know, he performs in these huge outdoor venues, obviously with the bands that he's playing with, Three Dog Night and John Hiatt.
Yeah.
But then he's off on his own playing as a solo or a duo or his own band. And he plays everywhere. So, yeah, you can absolutely look him up. He's got tons of shows coming up. And I'm really happy to say he's working on a brand new album in between all of this. He is a full-time Wisconsin-based musician. And how lucky are we?
You know, it's so great. We had Richard Reilly on the show last night, who's a Wisconsin native, has over 400 movie credits. He sent me an email out of the blue. He's a fan of the show. He listens, and he said, you should have Trapper Shep on your show. And I was like, that's so funny you say that, because Terry Barr, and I kind of told him your story, and I said, so absolutely, he's on the list. I would love to get him if possible, but either way, we're going to hear his music, and this is so fun. I should have sent him an email before the show, but just looking at his website here, San Francisco Examiner, easily one of the best albums of the year, one of the greatest Americana talents in a long time. That's Country DE Magazine, BBC Radio, an absolute masterpiece. And this guy's got some amazing reviews, and that's for his most recent album, I believe.
Yes, yes.
Siren
Songs. And when you talk to him about it, he's very, like, he kind of pulls inside himself and says, I'm so grateful. I'm just so lucky so grateful to be able to do, since high school, what I have always wanted to do.
He's open for the Wallflowers, or collaborates too with the Wallflowers, the Jayhawks, the old 97s. Like, he's keeping very good company. And right now with John Hiatt, that's really cool.
It is.
So should we play the other song now? Conrad, what?
We won't have time.
We won't have time. Should we do a break and then play the song? We could do that too. What's the story, Terry? He was going to play, or did he remake a Dylan song, did I hear?
Well, I'll give you the quick version. That is his guy. Trapper Shep loves Bob Dylan. And as he's scrolling through, you know, as we all do, all of a sudden he sees a Wisconsin song written partially by Bob Dylan, never finished, is for sale. $30,000.
Whoa.
I'll leave it there and we can finish it after your break.
Well, we don't have to go right away. So if you want to tell the story,
okay.
Civic, we got these hard breaks. You know, I don't have much wiggle room there.
Okay.
So.
All right. Okay. Then I'll keep. See, I thought I was being all brilliant with that tease.
That was pretty good.
So Trapper thinks, oh my gosh, Bob Dylan and a Wisconsin song. This is amazing. So he gets his hands on it. He doesn't purchase it. He finishes the song, records it, puts it out there. Rolling Stone picks it up. Billboard magazine picks it up. Radio stations pick it up. And then guess who else finds out about it?
Bob Dylan.
And his lawyers.
Oh, no.
But,
how did that go?
Well, Trapper's grocery shopping, and he gets a call, and he realizes, ooh, this is a number I'm not familiar with, but it says, you know, lawyer-esque. I better answer it. And they said, hey, how would you like to co-publish, co-write on this song? You'll make a little money, but Bob Dylan loves what you did with it.
Oh, nice.
Yes. I know it's a good, I know. I was so scared when I first heard the story that it was a horrible ending, but it was a great ending. And Trapper said that day, instead of spending my $100 for 2 weeks of groceries, I thought, I can spend $300.
That's so great. Is he playing locally anywhere in Wisconsin in the next, like by himself?
Ooh, I think most of his shows coming up now, he is going to be, if not out of state, out of the country.
Okay.
But I would definitely keep eyes peeled, and we can keep everybody updated through you, Pete, as well.
Because
he's got this new album that he said he's pretty sure he's going to be releasing it by the end of winter.
Okay, very cool. And I found that song. It was Link Ray, and the song was Rumble.
Oh.
Do you remember that? Play it. You will, if you play it, you'll know
okay.
it. So, all right. This is Bar Band Friday Night. Terry Barr is here, and we've got more from Terry with Trapper Shep coming up after the break. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Liar, liar. 'Cause now I'm pointing to crying. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
Did you know the fairgrounds in Marshfield have been in use since the mid-1800s when the site hosted a horse-driving park? The idea for the fair started on the streets of Marshfield in the early 1900s. Not long after, an association formed to sell memberships as a way of financing the conversion of the horse-driving park to a new permanent fair site. The first building on the grounds, the world's largest round barn, still in use more than 100 years later. Take a peek at the unique structure, catch 4-H'ers in action, food and games, and purchase a grandstand entertainment ticket, and your admission to the fair is free. And you're invited to the Civic Media Truth Booth, a chance to share your thoughts about the fair, living in the Marshfield area, and more. Plus, sign up for your local newsletter for more real news and great conversation. The Central Wisconsin State Fair runs through Sunday, August 25th. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I don't really believe in hyperbole typically, but is it just me? Or is this like a party? Terry Barr is here. It's a bar band Friday night. We've got music. We've got laughter. We've got snacks. I've been eating nerds since 5 o'clock.
Oh, my husband loves nerds. Oh, he'd be right here celebrating with us.
Terry, this is totally unprofessional, but I'm going to play this. This is the song I was telling you about.
Oh, good. No, do it.
You hear that?
Yep.
And they banned it because it was like, I don't know, too dark or something for the movies, but that's Link Wray. And there was a documentary out about it a few years ago, and I wrote the intro for it for PBS and introduced it on camera. And I knew so much more about it then I've forgotten some of it. But anyway, I thought that was interesting. But part of that song you just played had elements where, you're right, it has that 50s kind of feel to it. So you sent another song called On Wisconsin. Should we play that now? Should we fire it up?
Yep, this is the song partly written by Bob Dylan, finished and published with Bob Dylan by Trapper Shep.
Awesome.
Yeah, Wisconsin is a dairy state, guess you all know it well. I was in Wauwatosa, the truth I will tell. It's a milk and cheese and cream, yes, I've known it all my days. And I'm going back to my hometown, I'm leaving right away. I'm headed to Wisconsin, 2,000 miles to go. Madison, Milwaukee, sets my heart aglow. I'm a coming to that state and my heart's beating fast. And I'll jerk my banjo gently, twiddle my mustache on Wisconsin. On Wisconsin, calling me that way. On Wisconsin. There long ago, ones are coming now, it seems. I'll tune my banjo in the hills and feast on milk and cream. And I'll stamp my foot through the grass and I'll never know or care. Yes, my home's in Wauwatosa and I'm going there. On Wisconsin, on Wisconsin, on Wisconsin, I think city ways are driving me insane to drink. My home's in Wisconsin. It's a better place, I think. I have been in California and I've been all around, but my home's in Wisconsin and I'm gonna own this town. On Wisconsin, on Wisconsin,
great song. You know what, I like that song so much because it's so mellow. Like most, you know, when there's a, like a really provincial song, they try to fire people up and it's like Cleveland rocks, and it's like, that was just such a great mellow tune. He has got a great voice too.
He's fabulous. Yeah. And he's the nicest guy ever. And it's funny, as I'm listening to it, I was thinking of you, Pete, having lived somewhere else, as have I. But, you know, when he mentions, you know, city ways driving me to drink, going back to Wisconsin.
Is he from Wauwatosa?
No, he's from Milwaukee originally. Okay. But I think it rhymed in the song. So,
you can take liberties. He can do it. He's got Dylan's blessing. He can do whatever he wants, right?
Right. Well, and part of it, I believe, you know, those little pieces had already been written by Dylan.
Okay.
But the whole thing was Dylan wrote it after spending a few nights between Milwaukee, Wauwatosa, and Madison. And then he went to New York City to start recording his first album. But he took time before that first album to write this song. Never finished it, never recorded it. Thus the story to Trapper Shep.
What a great story.
Isn't that incredible?
You know, I'm going to be doing the show from Madison September 3rd. So I'm just saying, if he happens to be eating at the Parthenon and he wants to stroll down the street, you know.
I will ask him on your behalf and have your friend hit him up as well. You just never know. We have tried for years to get him on Max Tank Radio on a Saturday night. But, you know, as most busy musicians are, Saturday night's booked. So we're really lucky with what we get, which is always amazing. But, you know, he's on another level that, I don't know, we could see him really blow up soon.
Well, that's fantastic. And thank you for your efforts on his behalf and all up-and-coming musicians' behalf, Terry, because you guys do a great job there. Thank you so much, as always, for being on the show tonight.
Thank you.
And inspiring Bar Band Friday night. That's pretty cool.
Woohoo! Woo-hoo!
Have a great show tomorrow night, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, you guys.
All right. Happy
weekend to everyone listening.
Thanks, Terry.
Thank you.
All right, that is Terry Barr. Check out, if you have not checked out Max Inc. Radio, it is on 6 p.m. to 12 midnight every Saturday night. They do Live in the Lair from 9 to 10. It's an award-winning show. And they know music, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm telling you, I have learned more new music since I've been doing this show, since Terry's been on the show, and just great stuff. So thanks to Terry. And thank you to Terry Bell and Peter Nickel for being on the show tonight. Monday night on the program, Chris Foran from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel will be here talking movies and TV. And Wisconsin native comedian Mary Mack is touring Wisconsin. She will check in Monday night as well at 8:20. Thanks so much for your text tonight. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll be back Monday night. On behalf of Conrad, good night, Wisconsin.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Angela Lang, the executive director of Black Leaders Organizing for Communities, is my guest host for the day. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Bringing a house of pain.
Backside pressure, down he goes. Inside the 30-yard line.
To a game day near you.
Picked off by Wisconsin, and the Badgers win it.
That's how you create a program. That's how you create a team.
Join us Friday, August 30th. The Badgers kick off the season against Western Michigan. Our coverage begins at 6. On your home for Wisconsin football. The Badgers Sports Network from Learfield.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed.
keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.